Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Happy to be here, guys. Happy to see just the two of you. Not that I'm saying that I don't miss you. This is already going bad.
Wow.
Wow.
Should we start over?
No.
Wow.
That, no. I mean, I love James. It was just... Yeah, let's start over. That sounded so bad.
How did
I start off like that?
Unfortunately, Mr. Jimmy O is not going to be able to be here with us. He's got family things he's dealing with, and so we wish him the best, and hopefully he'll be back. But he did take some time to let me know what he thought of the movies that we have that we're talking about. So we'll at least hear from him. Yeah. So I just want to know, Joe, what have you watched recently that we can talk about?
On top of finally getting caught up with Barry and a couple other shows that I've been watching, the only thing outside of our assignment, I guess if Renfield is still considered part, Renfield's still part of the assignment, correct?
Right. Well, yeah, technically, I guess so. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the only other relatable theme or non-themed movie that I saw was Evil Dead Rise.
Mm, I think we all saw that.
Yes. And I cannot wait to talk about it. However, I'd like to take a little sidestep at this moment and go on a bit of a rant.
Joe's rant.
What?
This is our new sound.
This effect. Is my new segment, Joe's Rant.
I can't wait to hear it.
So I want to set the scenes for everybody. I went to the theater with my son. We had bought our tickets well in advance, 3-4 days in advance, got the seats that I wanted. I'm one of those people that I like to sit in the very back row, right under the center of the projector. And so those are the seats that we ended up getting. We come into the movie probably 10 minutes before the trailers are supposed to start, and the lights begin to dim. The trailers begin, and
You got your popcorn ready.
I didn't have popcorn. I smuggled in some of my own candy. Oh.
That's against the rules.
But you know what else is against the rules?
Yeah.
Snoring.
Well, yeah.
So I'm sitting there trying to enjoy the trailers, the coming attractions, and all I can hear out of my left ear is the lard-ass narcoleptic that has already fallen asleep in the chair next to me, snoring uncontrollably loud. And it's driving me nuts. And I'm trying the best that I possibly can to ignore it, because I have this ongoing love-hate relationship that seems to have gotten much worse ever since COVID happened and people started coming back to the theaters and forgetting what society is. I sat next to a guy a couple weeks ago that decided to enjoy the movie in his recliner chair with no shoes, which I also cannot stand. And for those of you who do that on airplanes, please stop that as well. So, excuse me. Anyway, back to my story, so I digest. I continued to watch this movie during the snoring, and at one point in time, this gentleman sitting to my left, and I use that term very loosely, was nudged by the person he was with, some woman. I don't know if it's wife, sister, girlfriend, whatever. I could care less. But at one point in time, did bring it to his attention that he was dead asleep and snoring. And then 5 minutes later, continued back to sleep. Until I just simply couldn't take it any longer. And I turned to him and just said, dude, come on, you're ruining the whole movie. And it's amazing how this had occurred probably halfway into the film. The minute I bring it to his attention, I went halfway through the film.
Why?
Trying to ignore it as much as I possibly could.
Oh, the patience you have.
Oddly enough, though, it was amazing. The minute I said something, he was awake and alert for the entire duration of the film. So my rant is, if you are even the slightest bit tired, maybe don't go to the movie. Maybe take a nap beforehand, or don't recline in the reclining seats. So that's it. That's my rant. Because other than that, I watched what is hands down my favorite movie of the year, which is Evil Dead Rise. We can all, I'm assuming, collectively talk about this, but I absolutely loved this. There were some parts of the film that I had some confusion on. And I'm going to start with the fact that it's only an hour and 37 minutes. And we didn't, there were some things that were brought up that were presented to us that didn't ever play out. Like, for example, at the beginning of the film, we see the mother trying to put back together a tattoo gun.
Yeah.
And I can't, that had no part. It was not played out at all in the least, the rest of the film.
The tattoo gun was in, was later. She was pointing it at the eyeball of the girl.
Right. Now I saw that, but I just figured maybe something in her past, other than it just being there and used as a weapon. I thought they could have gone into that a little bit more. I also, the sister who we, you know, this isn't spoiling anything. We find out that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I thought they could have played into that more. I didn't feel like we had a whole lot of character development with the family. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that they made the son a DJ or an aspiring DJ just so that we could establish that he's got a turntable in his room so he can play records. But I mean, for Christ's sake, it's, you know, 2023, lots of people, I don't know that we would have needed to establish that he's a DJ just to say that he's got a record player in his room.
True.
Yeah.
But saying that, these are like scuffing the surface nitpicks that I had issues with. Other than that, this was one of the bloodiest, gore fest, hilarious movies I've ever seen. I love all the homages to the other films, to the earlier films. Yeah. I mean, this was tremendous. I liked the fact that they, you know, moved this location into the city. You know, it wasn't a cabin in the woods in the middle of nowhere. And the reason I enjoyed that is because it does allow them the ability to start infecting or possessing other people. You know, there's collateral damage. There were other people that lived in that apartment building that also got drawn into this, whether they wanted to or not. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that. I thought the kids were all fantastic actors.
Yeah.
The mom was just tremendous. And the scene at the end is just, God, one of the bloodiest things I've ever seen in my life. I'm sitting there watching this, laughing hysterically in one of the most visceral scenes ever. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Now, that being said, I think the 2013 version was probably a better film, but I did enjoy this one. I shouldn't compare it to that one. I'm comparing it to all the other movies that I've seen in 2023. And it was a thrill ride. I absolutely loved it.
Mark, what'd you think of it?
I absolutely love this movie because it's groovy. I was shocked just how much this film was so good. I don't know if I like Rise better than the remake. I got to see it in the theater again. I'm going to probably see it within the week. I want to see it again. But how about the title card at the beginning of this movie? Phenomenal. So good. Just with the music, and it's just, you don't see that kind of title card come up, and it's just, it gets you into it. I love that. I got goosebumps, actually. This film had me, this film reminded me a little bit of Aliens and The Thing, just a tad, you know, with the daughter, you know, elevator scene and, you know, Deadites combining together. It reminded me of a little bit of The Thing. So I enjoyed that of it. And Cassie was the youngest. I loved her. I loved her in this. And I love when they kill the kids. I love it. It's great. It's, you know, Stranger Things, you know, take note, you know. It's no plot armor. It was great. But no, I really enjoyed it. highly recommend, you know, seeing this in the theater. See it in the theater, for crying out loud, but, you know, take a nap before, please, for the love of God. I can't believe, Joe, you waited a halfway through. It would have been during the trailers. He was snoring during the trailers.
During the trailers.
I would have stopped it right then and there. I would have said, wake up, man. It's like, and if this is going to happen, I move, or he needs to move, or something.
I do have a plan that when, this isn't horror related, but I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan, mm-hmm, and I'm looking very forward to the next one coming out, and I don't want that one ruined. So my son and I have determined that what we're going to do is we will buy two seats, and then we will buy the seats on either side of us so that we have four seats. And then the minute we go into the theater, right before the theater, before the movie starts, we're going to ask for refunds for the two exterior seats, saying that those two people in our party had to cancel, and then they won't have enough time to resell them.
It's just a shame. That
actually has happened, where we were supposed to, like, the four of us were supposed to go to a film, and then my daughter at the last minute said she couldn't go, and I you know, they've given us a refund before, which is great. It's nice that they do that. I'm just ticked to the point that I have to do this just to enjoy the film.
It's just a shame that, you know, you have to go through all that just to try to enjoy a movie experience. It's like, I feel like people, and I'm on the same train as you, Joe. It's like people nowadays have forgotten how to act in a movie theater. Keep your phones away. Turn them off. You know,
keep your shoes on.
Yeah, keep your shoes on. You know, it's fine to talk during the film. If something happened, you know, if there's a jump scare, you can talk about it for a quick second. Holy shit, that scared the shit out of me. You can do that. That's fine. I'm not like Mr. Grinch is going, it has to be completely silent. Enjoy the film. If it's a comedy, laugh. But man, just when you're constantly talking nonstop, and it just reoccurs every time I go to the theater, and I don't want to go to the theater. You're not in your living room just because this is why, like, you know, diehard theater fans like us, when we go to the theater, we don't go as often anymore, because you're going, oh my gosh, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it.
If there's lots of movies that I've just decided, no, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
And watch it in the privacy of my own home, because I don't want to pay that kind of money to get it ruined.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like with the Marvel films, you see like those film reactions of, oh my gosh, and they're screaming when someone appears. And it's like, I've been reading comics longer than you, man. I know a lot more of these comics, you know, than you, man. And I don't act that way. I'm not like that. Star Wars, same thing. R2-D2 shows up.
I'm not screaming. I don't mind people doing that in a movie. It's when they're just having side conversations. You know, that's the problem. I don't mind people, you know, cheering for a character they like and that kind of thing. I kind of enjoy that, actually. But it's when people are talking during a movie and they're on their phone or something like that. Yeah.
Right. But you miss out on dialogue. You miss out on dialogue when, you know, with people and you're like trying to hear what they're saying and everyone's screaming because you see Dr. Strange show up or something. It's just a little bit too much. It's, you know,
I kind of like that actually.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. I like it. People are getting excited about the movie. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when people are doing something that has nothing to do with the movie. Then, you know,
right.
Am I going to care about two lines from a Marvel goddamn movie? No, but you know, especially when their favorite character comes out, it's not that big of a deal. Are you any plot points you missed when those people were doing that? I highly doubt it.
I don't know. Call me ADD, man. It takes a lot for me.
Well, that you are ADD, man.
It takes a lot for me to get back.
Tell how I feel about this movie.
Yes, please.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, man.
I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys, but I definitely liked it. It's up there. I don't think it will probably be in my top 10 by the end of the year. I hope not. Anyway, I think there's going to be a lot of good horror movies this year, but I will say definitely probably top 15 at least. I don't like it as much as the remake. We watched that the other night because Michelle hadn't seen it, and we were going to see Rise the next day. And I God, that's such a good movie. It's so brutal. I feel like the remake was more brutal than this one, even though there's a lot of blood in this one. They're definitely, it gets meaner in the remake. I thought it was interesting. I like the lore of it. The book itself was pretty cool. I love the move into the city, but I wish that they'd done more in the city. You know, it could have been in a cabin, you know, other than the fact that there were other people on the floor. But most of it was set in that one apartment. So it was still another locked in a location kind of thing. But I mean, that's fine. But I, you know, it would have been interesting to see something more happening in the city, the way that Scream used the city a little bit, you know, this year. Scream, what was that? Scream 6? Yeah, Scream 6.
Yeah.
Or Friday the 13th, Part 8. Jason takes
Manhattan. Yeah,
it's kind of a
have them on a boat for half the movie, and then
yeah.
I still think it's cool that they had Friday 13th Part 8 and Scream 6, you know, on the TV. I'd still
do a little smirk but on that. I thought it was a really strong movie though, and there was some, I liked the a lot of the shots of stuff going on in the background. That there's that one scene where they walk out in the hall, and then that kid, you know. You see him in the background and he's got the blanket over him or whatever. I thought that was really cool. There were a lot of shots like that where there's somebody looking at something and you can see behind them something happening. And that was pretty cool. I liked the mom. I thought she was fantastic. The aunt was pretty, I liked her. She seemed a bit like, what's her name from the remake? The girl who was addicted. I can't remember the actress's name, but she seemed a lot like her. In fact, they look a lot alike, and she even dressed a lot like her. I noticed she had like on this short, shorts.
Yeah,
kind of I thing, noticed and then that boots too. Or whatever. Yeah, it was very similar.
Jane Levy.
Yeah, Jane Levy. They looked a bit alike.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah. I also want to point out for the record that, yes, I agree that I think the remake, the 2013, was much more of a brutal horror film. But what I appreciate about this one is the so much blood that it's comedic more of a callback to the original.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Original Evil Dead 2.
The cheese grater thing was really cool.
Loved that. And the swallowing of the glass that they were chewing on, I thought was very well done.
Right. Yeah.
The shard, Anae. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Matt, where's your rim shot?
That was good. That was actually in my notes.
Or maybe a trombone. One of the two.
The shard. Oh, nay. Get it? What are you talking about? That was brilliant.
It's better when you have to explain it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Bastards.
But I thought the, you know, I thought they talking about the three books, there's three books. That's a callback to one of the other ones.
Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Three of them.
So that was pretty cool.
Which, you know what that means?
What?
No.
There's another movie going to come out.
Oh, of course. This thing's made so much money. That's the
third book. Oh, yeah.
How much money?
Yeah, there were six of them.
I want to say it made $40 million or something.
Oh, I thought it was $23 million on the first weekend.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, still really good. So they're definitely going to be cranking these out. But I, you know, this, if they're, and oh, also the Shining, it was like being inside the Shining elevator.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So highly recommend
the budget was $12 million. Opening weekend was $24,500,000. Gross worldwide $44 million. So
that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
There's no way they're not making another one.
Hell yes.
Of course.
Good.
So hopefully they keep switching things up a little bit and see where it goes. But let's see. Oh, well, I guess that sort of brings us to our. Oh, no, not that one.
time. Why I was going to say, I kind of missed going back to our original intro theme music. But
Oh, you mean this one?
Oh, yeah.
This one right here?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah.
My name is Superfan Mark. This is CineScare. We're going out.
Oh, yeah.
Like a deer running through the forest. Getting hit by trees or cars. I ain't a rapper.
Do you guys ever hear the expression, beating a horse to death? I mean,
I'm not sure I've heard that like, exact one, but
you're beating a horse to death.
Beating a dead horse.
Beating a dead horse.
Oh,
I've heard that phrase.
I've heard that one. But when beating it to death, it's fine.
Yeah. Such a brutal phrase too.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, it's like you guys want me to keep on rapping. It's like, I can't even say words, let alone try to rhyme words. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. You don't want to do it again.
All right. Well, here we are, and my pick, which was Vampire Horror.
Hang on. So nobody else watched anything except for Evil Dead Rise?
I didn't. Well, I mean, I guess I could say that I watched, I'm still watching, what is it, Yellow Jackets, and that's great. But that's it. Yeah, that's all I've watched, other than our theme picks.
Anything? No, it's fine. It's fine.
Did you watch anything else, Mark?
No. I watched Fright Night 2 and then Renfield. So.
Which Fright Night 2? The more recent one or the one
that was direct? The 1988 one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one too.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess go ahead and slip us into the...
Well, here we go then. And we are into our theme, or my pick, which was Vampire, or what is it? The Vampire Strikes Back. And so I thought we should just talk first about, just get it out of the way, Renfield, which is kind of why I picked this theme to begin with, to coincide with that, even though it turned out to be a total box office bomb, unfortunately.
It was bad.
Yeah,
which
is shocking
bad
to me, because this is actually a really fun movie, I thought, anyway. I really enjoyed it. Having grown sick and tired of his centuries as Dracula's lackey, Renfield finds a new lease on life and maybe even redemption when he falls for feisty, perennially angry traffic cop Rebecca Quincy, who is played by Awkwafina. That is Nicholas Hoult in the titular role and Nicolas Cage as Dracula. And I, you know what I really loved about this was the callbacks to the original Dracula. They had all those scenes that look exactly like the original Dracula, except it's got Nicolas Cage in the role, you know, and Nicholas Hoult in the Renfield role. I thought it was fantastic. So and let's see, I do have notes on this somehow. Oh, I don't know if this happened with you guys, but the preview before Renfield, one of them was Last Voyage of the Demeter, which is, you didn't see this preview?
No.
So this is the new Dracula movie, and it's the whole thing is set. You know how Dracula, the movies always start out, or at least the originals anyway, always start out with him in Transylvania and Jonathan Harker, somebody comes to him, and then he travels to England and buys a property there. And
on the ship, right?
On that ship is called the Demeter. And he basically that ship in the book and in a lot of the movies basically winds up in London empty because all the people in it there've been like a curse or a plague or something. Well,
it's a story about that.
It's the story about that. Yeah.
Nice. So, I like that.
Yeah, that looks really cool, and it looks like it's the Nosferatu-looking Dracula as well. You can't really see him very well in the previews, but there's a couple moments, and it looks like that old-school Dracula, Nosferatu Dracula.
Who's playing Dracula? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Hmm. But that one looks good. But anyway, that was just a preview at the beginning of Renfield when I saw it.
I have the numbers if you want to hear them.
Yeah.
This was a $65 million budget film.
Wow.
How was this 65 million and Evil Dead Rise was 22?
Renfield?
Anyway, yeah.
Wow.
So that was a $65 million budget, and the gross worldwide was $18
million. Oh, no.
Oh, that's bad.
That's a box office so slaughter.
Yeah, that's
I feel bad that, that I went to go.
Because Renfield's like blood was so CGI and, you know, all over the place, and Evil Dead Rise was just...
There's not
practical effects, guys.
I listened to an interview, and it's mostly practical in Renfield.
Really?
Yeah. They kept it that one of the director, Chris McKay, demanded that they do mostly practical. And he was fighting against his own crew members, saying, you know, we could do this practical here and here. And he fought for or they were saying we could do CG here and here.
CG,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and he was fighting for practical. So I think most of that blood, there may have been, you know, some touch up, I'm sure, but a lot of that blood was practical. And the gore too. But I thought I don't get it. Like I would think maybe I could see it's R rated. But so is Evil Dead Rise. You know, maybe it's just horror comedy's a tough sell, and maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe people just don't really want to mix their horror and their comedy. But I thought Nicolas Cage was fantastic. I liked Awkwafina. I love Nicholas Holt. That scene where in the courtyard of the apartment building, it's like my favorite action scene of the year, and like where he's beating on the guy with his own arm or legs or whatever.
His arms, and then he throws him like two javelins.
Yeah,
it was like what?
So much fun. I have a feeling this is going to be one that does really well when it comes out on streaming. So, what did you think, Joe?
I never thought I'd say this out loud, but Nicolas Cage was really good in this film. I really liked him.
I like him in everything, but
I didn't look at the numbers. I didn't realize this was such a tremendous bomb. I walked out of there. I mean, it's a vampire movie. I wasn't thrilled to go see it, but when I walked out of there, I liked it a lot more than I thought it was going to. I thought it was funny. I thought Nicholas Holt was great. I thought Nicolas Cage was fantastic. I don't care what she's in. I don't really care for Awkwafina, but she didn't take me out of the film. I still enjoyed it despite her being in it. I just don't think she's very, this isn't a leading role, but I don't even think she's supporting. I could have thought of, you know, like a dozen other people that could have had in that place.
I like her.
She's
kind of one dimensional. I mean, it's kind of like the same character that she used before.
Yeah. I really like Ben Schwartz in that film. He was Teddy Lobo.
Yo, he almost stole the movie for me.
Yeah, he was good.
I've loved him since like Parks and Rec. He was on there for a while, but I'm still like my jaw's on the floor. I don't know why this didn't do any better. I agree. I think once it hits streaming or DVD or whatever, it'll get its feet underneath it. But yeah, this was, I think people should go see this. This is a decent movie. It was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Mark, what'd you think?
I'm in the same boat with you guys. I think I love the aspect of eating the insects, and you know he gets the vampire powers. I think Nicolas Cage, I think he didn't go over the Nicolas Cage top. I think he like really was very subtle sometimes, and he just he was really enjoying playing Dracula. It's like, there's like three roles that he's always wanted to play, and one of them is Dracula. And I think he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And that one scene where Nicolas Cage, Dracula, is waiting for Renfield in his apartment, that was a great scene.
Yeah,
it was great. It was just, back and forth. I mean, this is all about controlling and narcissism. I mean, that's what this film is all about. about is just, you know, narcissism. And it was just, you know,
I wondered how Nicolas Cage was going to be like, would you see, be able to see him as the villain, or would you, you know, cause you know, one of the problems is that when you have a character that has so much power and then you get power from them, there's this tendency to be like, I kind of, you know, wouldn't be too bad to be with him, you know, but he is menacing. And I thought it was, you could see him as the bad guy in this and why he wouldn't want to be with him, you know, why Renfield would want to break away.
Yeah.
I've gone over this in my head a few times. My biggest issue, I don't understand what the movie's problem with ska music is. That really took me out of the film entirely.
I thought of you right away, within the first
15 minutes of the movie, I'm like personally insulted.
Yeah. So. I thought of you, Joe. It's just like, oh, Joe's going to make a comment on this one, man.
I've heard a lot of backlash on ska for some reason. I'm not sure why it gets such a bad rap.
Because it's pretentious. It's pretentious.
It's like it is. It's the happiest music there is.
It is.
I don't think people think it's pretentious. I've never heard that before. But unless I've heard maybe it you described, don't know.
I've heard it described as the music that would pop up in like a 10-year-old kid's mind if he just got served mozzarella sticks for the first time in his life.
What?
I don't know what that means.
I stand by what I said. Every 10-year-old kid's like, oh, wow, mozzarella, this is fantastic. And that's the music that would accompany
cute situation. Cute music. Funny.
So overall, I think we all recommend this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, entirely.
Jenny liked it. CineScare certified, I guess.
Oh, God, that's right. It's certified. Yeah. I'm assuming Evil Dead Rise is certified as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy liked that too. So yeah, I'd say it's certified.
Yeah, he got a free sweatshirt out of it.
We have a lot to go back and talk about because there's a lot of movies I think we've seen that could be certified, or if Mark would just watch them.
What are you talking about? I watch all the movies Joe watches. I do.
No, you don't. Have you seen Attachment? No. Thank you.
There's so many.
First one off the top of my head. And no. No, I was watching Maverick for the 80th time.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Maverick in a month. Maverick's
not
going to
watch itself.
I haven't watched it in a month.
Although, in Mark's defense, I watched The Shining last night for like the 800th time.
Wow, that's just good taste.
But I've done all my homework, so, you know.
That's true, and you've watched everything else that you should have watched.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but Joe is saying, well, why doesn't Jack have money in his wallet? Or doesn't have money in his wallet.
Because see, I can watch it 800 times, and every time I see something new.
And then I said for the same That's reason Kubrick. That they there was not alcohol, and then there was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, the first movie from our actual, I guess Renfield was sort of part of the pick, but from the actual pick, I'm just going to go in chronological order and release on these babies. And the first one is, and I've already heard from some people who are fans that they enjoyed watching this, and that is The Midnight Hour from 1985. This is starring Janelle Allen, Sherry Belafonte, Kevin McCarthy, Jonna Lee, Peter DeLuise, Cindy Morgan from Caddyshack. It's got the voice of Wolfman Jack. It's got, I don't know if you guys spotted Macaulay Culkin as one of the trick-or-treaters, but it's one of, I believe it was his first role. And
don't forget Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith, which one's that?
He's Red from that 70s show, The Dad.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
He was the sheriff or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. And Dick Van Patten. And also.
Don't ever leave out the dick.
Yeah.
Hate it enough.
And then the guy who played Geordi on. Star Trek. No, from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
And Reading Rainbow.
Oh, is he on Reading Rainbow? I didn't. LeVar Burton. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So Phil, Melissa, Mitch, Mary, and Vinny are high school friends who unwittingly raise the dead on Halloween night. Once the dead have returned, Pitchford Cove will never be the same again. Or will it? No,
it won't.
Probably not. And in the end, you can kind of tell that half the town is probably gone. But this is a fun one. It was a TV movie. Unfortunately, the versions that you see on YouTube, and they actually have it on Amazon as well. They're not the greatest quality. The first time I watched it, it was a pretty good quality, but that one I couldn't find. Anyway, I think it's a lot of fun. I love the soundtrack. I thought even at the end, it was a kind of a touching ending. I liked the ending. But what did you, Mark? What did you think?
I wasn't enjoying this film for a while until I decidedly just watch the film. This is a perfect film for a 7-year-old to get into horror movies. That's
so you didn't enjoy it before you started watching it?
Not really. No, no. I wasn't. But then I stopped and I said, Mark, no. I never even knew about this film until you picked it, Matt. I had no idea about this. I kind of knew it was a TV film, so I went into it, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? It was nice to see LeVar Burton and Peter DeLuise. And the lead character was throwing me off with the glasses, you know, and they looked so much like each other. I was having a hard time knowing who was who at some points, but then I started, you know, when it got to the dance number in the house and they started dancing, it was kind of like Thriller. I mean, I was recognizing, you know, oh, this just happened after, you know, the Michael Jackson Thriller music video. And they're kind of like, you know, getting on the bandwagon or whatever. And I said, okay, it's 1985. That was
a lot of the 83. A lot of the same crew from Thriller worked.
Oh, really?
This. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. So I was correct. And so then after that number, I was going, wait, this is for kids, you know, this is on TV, you know, this would be a nice gateway film for young kids to get into horror. And so then I enjoyed it a lot more, and thank God, because, you know, it got a little bit more interesting at the end of the film than at the beginning. You're right, Matt. I enjoyed the ending of it. I thought it was a little sentimental and all that. The actress was a little bit too 50s for me, the way she talked, but that's fine. You know, whatever. That's just a little thing. Don't chop off his finger when Peter DeLuise had his that ring that they had to get. He grabbed the cleaver and going, yeah, chop it off. No, grab maple syrup and lube it off. And it's like, yep, this is for kids. This is absolutely for kids. I love the Repo Man effect at the end when she disappears. That was a total Repo Man effect. Yeah, that's about it. I love Cindy Morgan. Had no idea. I did some research on her. She's legally blind. Did you guys know that? She's legally blind. They had to. Yeah. So when she's on the diving board, like walking on the diving board, she had no idea where she was going. In Caddyshack.
In Caddyshack?
Wow.
In Caddyshack. Yeah. She's legally blind. So that was really interesting for me. Other than that, watching this film, I kept on having the Reading Rainbow song in my head. It was constantly, every time LeVar Burton, what a treasure he is, was talking. I was just, he's got that Reading Rainbow vibe and voice and talking. So, no, it's cute. It's cute for 7-year-olds in a gateway horror film. So, that's what I got out of it.
Joe, what did you think?
I loved this film. I am so mad that I had to wait until I was 50 to see it. Because I agree, like Mark, this is something, one of my notes is, this movie was simply fun. I wish I had seen this when I was a kid when it came out, because this looks like something I would have watched over and over and over again.
Yeah. You know, and this is, I was thinking to myself, why didn't ABC show this yearly? Why wasn't this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This should have been something.
They spent the money on it.
Yeah.
And why did they release it November 1st and not on Halloween? When it was first released, it was released on November 1st.
Yeah.
It might have something to do. I don't know what day of the week that fell on.
Yeah.
The year, that year.
That year, Halloween was on a Thursday that year.
Yeah. Mm.
So they probably would have put it on a Friday.
Well, because if they did it on Halloween, all the kids would be out trick-or-treating.
True.
Mm. So.
Yeah.
Or but
before.
Why
not before?
Yeah. You know, like, it should have done it like a Wednesday night.
The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Yeah. They don't play it on Halloween, you know.
Yeah. No. Yeah. All the kids are passed out, you know, like drugged up on candy. They're like, dude, who's going to watch that, you know, November 1st?
Yeah. This movie starts off just immediately transporting you back in time to the nostalgic areas. You know, like the kid getting his paper out ready in the morning. Although I was really confused why he does it while wearing a mask, because that's going to make it hard to read.
Well, because it's Halloween, I guess.
But yeah. I love the fact that this movie starts off and you get to see an actual milkman delivering milk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so quaint. I loved it.
Yeah. And then the milkman later comes. Right. Back. Yeah.
Wait, you guys actually had milk delivered to your houses at one point?
When I was little, we did. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Freaking Iowa, remember man.
My grandmother doing it.
Joe's not from Iowa.
Place, but no.
Well, oh, yeah, you're from Illinois.
Yeah.
I didn't get milk.
It was the tail end of that.
I think the casting was a little odd because Phil, our main character, he was actually 24 when filming this, and he's supposed to be in high school. And Sherry Belafonte was 31.
No. Yeah.
They didn't look like high schoolers at all. No. That's typical.
She's hot, though. Oh, man.
I want to say this is, like, hands down one of the best soundtracks to any movie we have watched on this podcast at all.
Yeah.
I mean, kicking it off with Wilson Pickett, Midnight Hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit on the nose, but all these songs were fantastic.
Yeah.
Mark's reeling in his head.
Yeah, no.
I was actually thinking of another movie coming up, The Thirst, that had a pretty good soundtrack.
Boy, the judge was a real dick in this movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Beating up his son.
Yeah, he smacks his kid.
For, like, no reason. Right. Yeah, yeah. I didn't get that. I also didn't understand.
He's always a dick.
Yeah. Phil's vampire costume was great, but I didn't understand what was with the white and blue face paint.
I didn't understand.
He was a robot. Hair. He was a robot vampire.
Oh, is that what he said?
I still don't get that.
No, but you could tell by, like, his face makeup. He was a robot and he had the silver hair. So he's a robot vampire.
Boy, yeah, I didn't catch that at all. Cause that, yeah. And the hair and everything.
Yeah. Boy, that Vinny or LeVar Burton, boy, was he a real horn dog, because he had one thing on his mind.
I don't blame him.
You know, I mean, if I was Miss Belafonte, I would have, you know, like, kicked him in the nuts and walked away. But just get your damn hands off
what's
me, man.
What's the teacher doing there dancing with students? Yeah, by
God bless her. Is she chaperone?
Got any wine?
The first question is, do you have any wine?
Right. Yeah.
Best substitute teacher ever. And then she's dancing with him and flirting with him. I'm like, oh, my God, please. Why didn't that ever happen to me?
I did really like Sandy, the cheerleader girl. Mm-hmm. Although my question is, why was she buried in her cheerleader outfit?
Well, my thing also was, well, that's true. Yeah. Well, no, because if she had died at that age and she was a big cheerleader, maybe they would have. But
no, they would have put her in a dress.
No, maybe. That's not true.
I don't know.
No.
So I'm going to get buried in the uniform of the job that I have.
It does happen.
It's like that milkman's going to get buried in all white.
I've seen teenagers get buried in, like, their football uniform, football jersey and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it happens. Yeah, it does happen. Yeah, this is not what defines me.
They don't do that when you're an adult.
Ska music is what defines me. And I will never turn my back on ska.
Yeah.
Well, what I actually attended a funeral where she was young. She was 22 years old, and she was an equestrian. She rode horses, and she was buried in her equestrian uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does happen.
Okay. What else, Joe? Anything?
So this movie does have bumbling cops.
Yeah.
Check.
It does.
Yep. Dick Van Patten as a vampire is just scary as all get out. I don't ever want to see that again.
I don't know either.
And yeah, the song Get Dead was added due to the success of the Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yeah.
That dance number was something.
I even liked, like you said, Matt, the very end of the film, the long distance dedication from the grave.
Right.
From Sandy to Phil.
Yeah.
I totally agree. This is something that ABC should have had on year after year after year. So
it should've
somebody
been.
Should get fired for this.
Yeah, totally. I don't understand. Yeah. Let's see. I don't quite understand why werewolves and vampires also came out, but
yeah.
There wasn't much rhyme or reason as to who came out. And then
they had everything in there. They had ghouls, vampires. It was only, a perfect gateway.
The only one of the creatures that came out looking like a normal person is the cheerleader. But of course that had to be the case.
Well, and there were various levels of dead people in that graveyard when they came back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the main witch? When she came out of the grave, she looked like she just died 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Instead of being dead for hundreds of years.
I guess it was two, her and the cheerleader. Let's see.
I mean, it was basically for her to just, start off just going, all right, she's dead, because if she just showed up normal, then, you know, the kids wouldn't have understood that she's dead, probably.
I guess.
Yeah. It's a lame excuse, but that's what I'm going to go with.
But yeah, I liked the main girl. I liked Sandy. I thought she was really good. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I can't believe we hardly saw anything more from her after this. I thought she was really natural and really, you know, she was cute and she was believable in that role. So I liked it. But anyway, that's a fun one. So moving on, we move on to Fright Night from, I believe this is 1985 as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Nobody believes teenager Charlie Brewster when he discovers that his suave new neighbor, Jerry Dandridge, is a vampire. So when the bloodsucker starts stalking Charlie, he turns to has-been actor Peter Vincent, played by Roddy McDowall, famed for portraying a ghoul hunter. Unfortunately for the would-be vampire slayers, Dandridge has set his sights on Charlie's girlfriend, which is kind of creepy. That whole part was kind of a little on the creepy side, obviously. I forgot. Jimmy told me. He gave me notes on all these are a little bit tonight. So Midnight Hour, he said, is a lot of fun. TV movie looks like one basically, but he said there's some hokey stuff, but overall very charming and enjoyable. For Fright Night, he said it's just a classic. He loves this movie. It's one of his favorites from that time period. And he said Chris Sarandon is a sexy motherfucker. So Joe, what do you think of Fright Night?
Meh. I'm not really a huge fan of this film. I think this time when I watched it was probably the third time I've tried getting all the way through it. You know, the movie starts off with Charlie as a date rapist. You know, he's just all over his girlfriend. The one thing I would like to point out for the folks in Iowa is Charlie had a University of Iowa cup on his desk. When the pencils got kicked over.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Cup of University of Iowa. Yeah.
I thought it was in Iowa because of that. No, maybe it was just,
no, I don't know where it was set. They never really say. I just thought it was, you know, I saw the Hawkeye and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause he was able to get to the actor and he went to a studio for that. So I figured it was
like a local,
like California or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Evil Ed just drives me nuts. There's times where I'm wondering like, hey, Ed, you got to remember what team you're playing for, you know? And I was thrilled when he met the demise that he met.
Which was a pretty brutal demise too.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. It was so thrilled. Good.
Yeah.
Practical effects.
I do think that, Chris Sarandon, the main vampire dude, when he goes to that dance club, he doesn't seem like a vampire. He just seems like a pedophile.
Right. Yeah. That whole scene was creepy.
I don't get that. All the way from the whining guitar. I mean, I realize he's supposed to be using his vampire powers to seduce her, but
you don't get a grown man hitting on a teenage girl is kind of pedophile creepy.
A pedophile.
He's a vampire. He's a vampire, and it's got the portrait and all that. He's in. He's all in. No?
Okay.
back to the practical effects. I think one thing that bothers me throughout this film is the teeth, just the apparatus that they put in their mouth. Everybody seemed like they were having a lot of difficulty trying to talk and emote with those giant teeth they had in their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
All the vampires. I mean, even Evil Ed, when he gets transformed, I mean, it seems like they just put in a football mouthpiece and just glued some teeth on the end of it. It's just way too big.
I don't know why they didn't just make them fangs like a typical vampire fang rather than the full mouthpiece. Yeah.
I've never really cared for the dialogue in this film, which is part of the reason, I guess, why. I mean, nothing's gripping. I don't have any emotional attachment to any of the characters.
Hmm.
Amanda Bierce was 27 when she filmed this. It's funny how when she's a teenager in high school, she's got a really short bobby haircut.
Right.
But when she gets converted into or changed into a vampire, her hair is like down to the middle of her back.
Yeah.
And then when she's no longer a vampire, it goes back to being short.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. She looks like a mom almost. And she's supposed to be a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of the things that I have issues with, or at least that I took notes about, are just little nitpicky things. But honestly, an overall encompassing thing, I've never really been attracted to this film. Huh. Nothing ever really sucks me in.
Ever, so. Huh? Like,
When was the first time you saw it? Seen this. I remember watching it like on a VHS tape that I rented when I was like in high school.
Huh. I saw it in the theater when it very first came out and I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I tried watching it again, probably within the past year. I remember seeing it like it was just starting on a Sunday afternoon and I had nothing going on. And so I watched the whole thing again. And then the last time was, last week.
Hmm.
But yeah, so several different age spans, but still nothing.
Huh. Mark, what'd you think?
I love this film. It's Fright Night is a mishmash of 1980s horror with old school horror, like with Christopher Lee. Yeah. But Fright Night reminds me of a lot of Rear Window, like a little Hitchcocky thing when he's looking out the window a lot.
Parts, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminded me of it. It's like, will you believe him or not? Tom Holland, who wrote this film and directed it, he wrote it with the idea of, he wanted to do a story of the boy who cried wolf. But the twist is that Charlie doesn't tell lies. He loves horror movies, so that makes his friends and everyone else around him thinks that Charlie's imaginations basically, just got the better of him. And that's basically what the story is. It's the boy who cried wolf. And I think it's a fun film. I think the nightclub scene is wonderful. I think Roddy McDowall is great in this film. I'm absolutely agreeing with Joe, though. Evil Ed, this actor, this character, I should say, is just so over the top. And every time he talks, it's just like nails on a chalkboard for me. And it's really weird because a lot of people love Evil Ed. It's like he's known for this role. For me, it's just way overboard. And it's almost like I'm seeing him on stage, like acting, just trying to steal every single scene that he's in. Do you know why Jerry, which I love the fact that the head vampire's name is Jerry. do you know why he's always eating fruit? The apples and
I think I heard
oranges
this somewhere,
and all that.
Yes,
he wanted to, for his character development. He says, "Well, he's a fruit bat, and so he's eating fruit nonstop."
Oh, brother!
Did you guys know that? No,
no, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. He also he was nominated for an Academy Award or for something before. Fright Night, or he was in a film that was nominated, and so he didn't want to do a horror film, but he said after the first like five pages or something, he says, "Oh, I had to do it." Saw that in an interview. I love the fact that Peter Vincent is after Vincent Price and Peter Cushing. I think that's great. I know where Joe's coming from. This is more nostalgia for me, but it sticks with me. I think it's because of the practical effects. I think they're wonderful, mm-hmm. you know. And, it, you know, the death of Evil Ed, it's horrifying. The screams, the mm-hmm. wolf screams, you know, it's absolutely just phenomenal. I think this is a great film. I still think the film holds up. Yeah, there's some cheesy acting in it, but it's the 80s, man. It's 1985. You're going to get some cheesy acting. And it was meant to be, you know, sort of like a horror slash little bit comedy, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously.
It's kind of a goon. It's in the Goonies vein. It's very Spielbergian in some ways, you mm-hmm. know. I think it looks great too. I think it still looks great. Some of those shots I think are just beautiful, and I love the creepy atmosphere of the house. And well, it's just I've always liked this movie. And it's a real fun one. Okay, so let's move on to.
Wait, did you talk about it, Matt, or?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know. Okay. But yeah, no, it's a fun movie. I like it. Move on to 1993, and that is Guillermo del Toro's film debut, directorial debut, Kronos. Faced with his own mortality, an ingenious chemist tried to perfect an invention that would provide him with the key to eternal life. It was called the Kronos device. When he died more than 400 years later, he took the secrets of his remarkable device to the grave with him. Now, an elderly antiques dealer has found the hellish machine hidden in a statue and learns about its incredible powers. The more he uses the device, the younger he becomes. But nothing comes without a price. Life after death is just the beginning, as this nerve-shattering thriller unfolds and the Fountain of Youth turns bloody. So this is starring Federico Lupi, Ron Perlman, Claudio Brook, and that's pretty much it for anybody, maybe anybody's heard of. But, Guillermo del Toro, of course, directed it. And this is not bad. I'd never seen this before. It's kind of interesting. I didn't love it. Jimmy gave notes. He said it's good, not great. It was apparent to see even at the time that Del Toro had some chops even back in those days. But I enjoyed it. I thought that I really liked Ron Perlman in this. I thought he was really good. I thought the granddaughter was really good in it too. Federico Lupi, was the main guy. I thought he was good. The guy who was sick, I think it was Claudio Brook.
Yep.
It was a good movie. I thought that I was hoping it would go further than it did. I was hoping the old guy would have more vampire kinds of stuff. But you know, overall, not too shabby. Mark, what did you think of this one?
Well, apparently Del Toro wanted to bring the humanity back into horror. I mean, he went out of his way to make a grandpa who turned slowly into a vampire into, you know, this sweet Geppetto, you know, lookalike guy who takes care of his granddaughter. And I love that about this movie. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going for, you know, the thirst of blood so much. It was more eternal life, I thought. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, no, I think it's fairly true, right?
Yeah, the problem, however, it's
like, I mean, there was, he did have a thirst for blood too, but
he did, but it wasn't prominent in the film. It was more about eternal life, especially with the guy with cancer or whatever, you know, in that hallway that we kept going to. My problem was the granddaughter. You guys, Matt, you said you liked her. I did not like this granddaughter at all. She was lifeless in this film. It was joyless. There was no expressions on her face at all. She was seeing all these things, and she's just standing there and standing there. She's got a glow stick and standing there. I'm sorry. This kid's just, there's something wrong with the kid.
Well, I think that's the case. I think that she's got, but I thought that was really interesting. I thought it was a very interesting choice.
I didn't find that interesting at all. There was nothing to feed off of her, you know, no pun intended. It was just nothing there from her. She just stood there like just watching all this stuff, you know, and then she grabs, you know, the cane and hits, you know, the guy over the head. It's like, she's going to do that, really? Okay. Well, then, you know, she's a born
Mark
murderer.
Has a problem with kids, I think, is the issue here.
I kind of do. But I actually enjoyed this. The reason why I think he was the king, and if I'm not sure if this is the reason, but I think the reason why he was the king is because he wasn't drinking enough blood, because he was resisting the force of, you know, drink the blood. That's why he was the king. But I didn't understand the end of it, where his wife and the granddaughter at the end, and he's like in, you know, all the decay, you know, flesh is off of him, and he's in vampire skin on the bed. And like the last time the wife saw him was at the New Year's Eve party. So it's like, there's no explanation for that. Although with all that being said, I did enjoy it because it was a little different. You know, it wasn't just, you know, I need blood. You know, Ron Perlman was phenomenal in this, and him sitting down in this little cellar in his room and all that with the picking of the toe jam and smelling it. And then the phone rings. I lost my mind. I just started laughing. It was perfect. Ron Perlman was great in this, and I can see why Ron Perlman just kept on being in Del Toro's films, because he's amazing. But yeah, no, I mean, do I recommend it? Watch it during the day or something, like if you got nothing else to do. It's definitely not my favorite out of the group, but I mean, it was interesting to watch. Every scene Ron Perlman in was great, so. That's it.
All right. Joe, what'd you think?
I thought it was charming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would give that term high praise in the horror industry, but the movie itself was just charming.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with both of you. Ron Perlman was the main reason to watch this film. He was fantastic in it. I think this is the earliest Ron Perlman film I've seen, because I could not get over how young he looked in this film.
Yeah.
I did find the relationship with the main character and his granddaughter to be quite endearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason she's so, her actions are so diminutive, is so that when she does do something, it makes it seem that much more pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's a very quiet, you know, almost immovable at times.
I felt like she was probably troubled. Girl. There was something in her history there, obviously.
But so that way, when she does, you know, take action, it's like, oh my God, look at what she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like that much more of a feat.
Did she even scream during any of this? I don't think she did.
No, I don't believe so. No. But that being said, I mean, do I recommend this movie? No. I mean, I appreciate it. I watch it. I gain even more appreciation of Guillermo del Toro. I find more and more things that I see about his style that I like, that I can then see in later films that he's done. But would I personally ever want to sit down and watch this film again? Probably not.
Yeah, so. No, I probably wouldn't either. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking Guillermo- of which, Joe, oh, sorry, man. Yes. Speaking of which, if you want to see like a really early film with Ron Perlman, Quest for Fire. If you've ever seen it, it's phenomenal. It's a caveman.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Film. Yeah, it's caveman a great film. Film, and he's in it, and he's amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, Guillermo del Toro was really good in Barry this last week. So that whole scene,
yes, he was.
That whole scene was
fantastic. It was really good.
It's great.
Del Toro. Man, Barry is dark this season. It's so dark.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, so the next film on our list is from 1995, and that is a film by Abel Ferrara, and that is The Addiction, starring Lily Taylor. The dark is their sunlight. What makes them different is what keeps them alive. A vampiric doctoral student tries to follow the philosophy of a nocturnal comrade and control her thirst for blood. Jimmy said he's a fantastic art house film. Lily Taylor is amazing. He loves the director Abel Ferrara and highly, highly recommends this film. I really enjoy this too. I thought it was great. I loved the movie Ms. 45, directed by Abel Ferrara. This was very similar, except with a vampire, really, kind of. Obviously, they're two very different stories, but similar in some ways. Lily Taylor, I thought, was great. Christopher Walken was really interesting. Just a lot of little scenes, little vignettes, and weird conversations. But I liked it. I was just, I don't know. It's not one that I'll go back to a lot. But I really enjoyed it. I definitely thought it was an unusual film and a unique take on the vampire mythos. And I liked the look of it too. I thought it was really, really interesting. So Joe, go ahead. What did you think of The Addiction?
Pass.
Pass.
I couldn't hate this movie anymore.
Oh my god.
Oh, Jimmy called way.
It. Yeah. Jimmy called it when you announced this film. I have a note on here. It said, "This is a goddamn art film. Matt tricked me into watching another goddamn art film." I could not wait for this movie to be done. Thank God Christopher Walken was in it. It's just everybody was way too deep. I mean, this is on one spectrum and one end of it. And then on the total opposite end, that's Evil Dead Rises. And that's my wheelhouse. That's where I find.
But it's okay to branch, have a little breadth.
Exactly. I was baptized.
I'm not going to die on the hill of this movie.
No, I knew, neither will
when I. When I saw it, I knew. I mean, I loved it, but I knew that you.
No, I was the opposite. I thought Joe was going to love this film.
Oh no, like, no, love I knew it. He was going to hate it. It's
no way.
But I don't understand why you're so reticent to art house. That I don't get.
Well, first off, I have no idea why this film was shot in black and white. I don't understand what that made the film, how that made that any better. You've got
I love black and white.
It was awesome.
You have a whole palette full of colors that could have made the story so much more interesting.
Absolutely, it's a noir. Yeah, it's a noir.
Everybody was so deep in this, in the writing,
yes,
that I'm just like I'm not even being entertained. First off, the issue that I had was the quality of the sound on this film, and Matt and I were texting back and forth about this. I had to crank this volume up. Maybe I just had a bad connection or something.
Yeah, I
could not hear anybody.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I normally have my volume set between 12 and 18 to watch just normal television. I had to crank this up to almost 60 to even hear what these people were saying. Lily Taylor is talking with Edie Falco in the women's restroom, she's literally just whispering the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, just deliver your line. Use your diaphragm. Let me actually hear what you're trying to say.
I had no trouble hearing anyone in this.
Neither did I.
Yeah, well, that was one of my lines is, why is this movie so much better in black and white? Yeah, most like all of the notes that I have in this, I'd say more than half of them had to do with the volume. I do have a note on here that says, thank God for Christopher Walken. Yeah,
I was going to tell you to watch it on a different TV or something, but then I thought, he's not going to like this anyway, you know, but because I had no issues with sound. And Mark, did you have any?
No, none at all. Like, yeah, wait, not a Joe, single one. What did you watch it on?
It's on Shudder. There's this HBO Shudder. Yeah. So I watched it on Shudder.
Yeah, I watched it on Shudder too.
It was like I when I got done watching this, I just turned on something else on Shudder and I had no problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And I do want to point out, because this is something, since we're watching vampire films, this is just something that I've noticed from vampire film to vampire film. Whenever a vampire is feeding on somebody and they're done, they got blood like all over their mouth and they don't address it. You know, when I go to Buffalo Wild Wings and I'm eating wings and I get sauce all over my mouth, I can feel it and I take a napkin, I wipe it off. Why don't some vampires ever do that?
Well, I think they're in a certain ecstasy, you know.
What the fuck, Joe?
So am I, Matt. I said Buffalo Wild Wings. Did you not hear that part? I don't know. I just, the other thing I didn't get is at the end of this film when they have that giant feeding frenzy, just, and I'm putting this note in there to prove the fact that I did watch it all the way to the end.
The fuck?
Why are they eating people, or why are they killing all these people and just taking like a sip of their blood? Like, nobody gets drained. I'm like, I thought you guys were doing this for sustenance and power. Why not sit there for a while and actually suck some of these corpses dry? I mean, and that's not just this film in particular, but that's a lot of vampire films, but I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I
probably, cause they don't want to sit there for 2 minutes while, you know, have a camera on somebody while they're being drained for 3 minutes.
I don't know. Then I might get into it.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, like Interview with the Vampire, where they have the guy, you know, pumping, like sitting down and pumping, and you hear the whoomp, 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 you know, and while he's sucking the blood out of her neck. I mean, that was a nice.
Well, now effect. In another film that we're going to talk about later, they actually do that.
Okay.
Or no, it was one of the ones they like hung somebody up and they were draining their blood. Thirst. Yeah. So I don't know. I could not dislike this film.
I'm so surprised.
Oh, I'm not. You're surprised by this?
I am
Matt,
actually.
Matt knows me by now.
Yeah. Well,
and I can tell you what movies Matt will like, and I can tell you what movies he won't.
Oh, I'm guarantee you, I'm way harder to predict than you are.
Oh, I completely agree. But like, if I had just come across this film without you referring to having us watch this at all, if I had just found this movie on my own accord and I watched the whole thing, I would have thought, yep, Matt would have loved this film.
Yeah. Well, that might be true. Yeah. Mark, what are your thoughts on The Addiction?
Baffled that Joe does not like this film.
This isn't about me. It's about the film.
No, it's about you. Well, I'm just saying I'm baffled.
It's about you.
That you did not enjoy this, because this brought me back to like the 90s, you know, black and white films, the art house films. Do you not like Clerks? I thought you loved Clerks.
No, why didn't they show it in?
Well, because why didn't they show it in black and white? Right?
He had a $30,000 budget and he had to sell his comic book.
What's the budget on this film? I think
this was a choice. He's making
it was a choice. It was a choice.
He's making a vampire noir.
Yes. And it was enjoyable to watch. And knowing that this was a 1995 film and it was black and white, it did bring me back to Clerks. It brought me back to Coffee and Cigarettes.
This was a $307,000 budget and opening weekend.
Okay, calm down.
$46,000.
I need to calm down.
To know what the budget was. I just told you what the budget was.
I need to calm down. Sorry, Joe. Look, first off, I love the Addiction song at the beginning. It's horribly sung. I don't know who sings it, but it was horribly sung. And that was, I was thinking this is going to be one of these kind of films. It's like, oh, this is going to be a laugh out loud film. But no, it went into a lot deeper just mythology of vampirism.
That's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Very good, Mark. Hey. Another thing, when she goes into the hospital and she gets her wound dressed and she comes home. This is the worst hospital wound dress I've ever seen in my life. It was so bad. And that's why I thought
they didn't clean any of the blood.
They didn't clean any of the blood. And I was just like, okay, this is why I thought it was lower budget. Okay, Joe. I thought it was lower budget.
Well, $350,000 is low budget.
So. It's huge low budget. Huge. Yeah. Red flag. red flag warning. I don't care how hot a woman is. If she brings in a tray with a candle lit with needles, it's like, you're out. I don't know why he just decided to put out his arm. Oh, and that one actor, I recognized him from Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm. I am Paul, and this is Twin Y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's the bartender.
Yeah. I thought, like, just the mannerisms. I thought the conversations that they had, like, everyone knows I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I want to rewatch this movie just to get all of the dialogue, because it's deep dialogue, and I got a lot of it, but there's still more I want to pick up, and so that's why I want to watch this film again. There's a lot of deep shit in this film. Christopher Walken's great, especially when you first see him and he's walking down the street, and I kept on going, I was like, when is Walken going to be in this? And when you see him, it's just Walken being Walken, and it's great. And, you know, all his, you know, voice, dialogue, and what he does. And I love the scene where it's just a coven of vampires and they just all go into each other. I had a big smile on my face. I really, really enjoyed this film. I really did. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I like the scene in the closet, too, where she's like going crazy, trying to control her urge. I thought that was great. But the whole scene with Christopher Walken was such a weird but cool little aside.
Yeah. You're nothing.
Yeah.
That was my Walken.
That was great. But yeah, you're right, Mark. There's a lot. Back in the 90s, there were a lot of black and white indie art house films that were done in black and white. And this one kind of reminds me. Did you ever see Dead Man with
Johnny Depp?
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit. You know, Joe, did you ever see Dead Man?
No, but I did see Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid with Steve Martin.
That was 80s, Joe. 80s.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I watched Super Troopers. Did not like it.
Oh, you didn't?
Really?
Oh, I thought that was kind of funny.
I only liked the beginning. After that, it just...
I haven't seen it in a long time, and I do recall feeling like it was a joke that went on too long a little bit as it went, but I did laugh out loud several times in that.
So you haven't watched Beer Fest either?
No.
I saw that their new film Quasi is on Hulu for free.
Quasi?
Yeah, it's about Quasimodo.
Oh.
You know, the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I haven't seen those. Show. All right. Crickets. Well, moving on to our last film, and this is from 2009, and it is directed by Park Chan-wook, who directed Old Boy, among a whole lot of other classic Korean films, and that is Thirst. Sang-hyun, a respected priest, volunteers for an experimental procedure that may lead to a cure for a deadly virus. He gets infected and dies, but a blood transfusion of unknown origin brings him back to life as a vampire. Now Sang-hyun is torn between faith and bloodlust and has a newfound desire for Tae-ju, the wife of his childhood friend. This is Oh God, I love this movie. I loved this movie. It's my favorite of the bunch. I'm sorry. I'm reading Jimmy's review now. It's my favorite of the my favorite of the bunch. A weird and wonderful film. Not my favorite of this director, but it's still great. And I agree with him. I loved this movie. I thought Kim Ok-Vin, who played the girl, I thought she was amazing. I, of course, his name's Song Kang-ho, who was in Parasite, and oh my God, he was in Memories of Murder, which we just saw a couple, you know, my last pick. He's been in tons of stuff, and he's kind of the Robert De Niro, I think, of Korean film. But this was a really interesting, unique take on the vampire lore. And let's see what do I have here.
What do you have there, Matt?
I'm trying to find my
Matt. What do you have?
Thing. I think it's complicated. I did like the way that they did the whole vampire thing. They did have powers, but it wasn't like overboard in what they did, although, you know, I mean, they're jumping really high and landing and all that kind of stuff, so there was a certain almost magical quality to their vampire powers. And I thought that she, especially Kim Ok-Vin, was really, really good, and kind of like, you didn't know what her motivations were, where her loyalties lay, and she's kind of the person that, even before she became a vampire, she could have just left everybody at any moment. Like, she was such a strange and unique character. I really enjoyed it, and I just thought there was just a poetry to this. I loved the whole ensemble, the group that gets together to play what's the game.
I don't know what it's called.
Mahjong.
Oh, with the domino.
Yeah, Mahjong.
Like dominoes, right?
Yeah, I love their little group that gets together and everything. Her husband was kind of a man child, obviously, but he wasn't as bad as she made him out to be. So she had this like manipulative side to her that you don't realize until it starts to unfold a little bit. But I really enjoyed this one. This was one of my favorites. This was hands down my favorite of the bunch. Who went for Joe? Or no? Who?
Okay,
yeah, go Joe.
I went. Okay. So Matt, I have a question for you. This is a 2-hour and 15-minute long Korean horror vampire film.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was 3 hours.
Do you think I liked it?
Probably not. No.
Oh, I absolutely loved it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I really did. See, every once in a while, Joe surprises you. I believe those were your exact words.
Actually,
so. No, I.
When you, the only reason, actually, if you'd asked me that without prefacing it that way, I probably would have, because I was thinking to myself, I have a feeling Joe might like this one, because it did remind me of Memories of Murder in the way that it played out, and you liked that, so I thought, well, you know, he might like this one. So, but the way you just prefaced it, I
really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. There's a couple little things that I pointed out that I think were kind of funny. Is the penance that he gives during confession was 20 Hail Marys, get a lot of sun, and take a cold shower.
Yeah.
Is an awful weird penance.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering later on, I wonder what the penance is for screwing a Catholic priest, because that should be a lot worse.
Yeah, it probably should
which be. She does, yeah.
Take two cold showers?
Right, yeah. Or take a shower with the priest. Tae-jung is, or Tae, what's her, Tae-ju? Is that her name?
Tae-ju or Tae-ju, I think.
Tae-ju? Yeah. Tae-ju is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just nutballs crazy. And then my next note is, okay, great. Now she's a crazy vampire.
Right.
Yeah.
But you kind of see why he's drawn to her, right? Because she's,
entirely. Yeah.
Very.
She's so manipulative.
It's all the women I dated. That's the character of women I date.
And you're kind of like her husband.
Yeah. A man child.
What the fuck?
I thought it was really disgusting that
the
time
fuck?
when
Jesus, Joe. I'm not a man child.
When Sang Hung is when he's playing that flute for the guy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden gets sick and starts just coughing up blood through the flute. I'm like, oh. What you know, you were talking about how the vampire how they showed that vampires do have certain powers, but they didn't go like overboard with it.
Yeah.
I did think it was weird. I've never seen this as a vampire power, but the ability to rip quarters in half.
Right. That's pretty cool. Because
when she thought that, you know, well, maybe he's a vampire again. She's like, here, rip this in half.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the point in that? But he did it. So I guess that must mean he's a vampire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, normally when if a movie asks you, you know, a character asks a character in a movie where he has powers to show a feat of strength, it's some huge thing like lift that car or whatever.
Yeah.
And all she asked him to do is rip this quarter or coin, you know? And,
And,
but when you think about it, it would not be easy to rip a coin.
Oh, no.
It wouldn't be any easier than lifting a car probably. Well, maybe.
That's a very good question. Now I'm pondering that all. I'm like, which would I rather do, rip a coin in half or try to lift a car?
Yeah.
I would think it would probably be easy to lift a car.
Can't do it. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Matt's.
Yeah.
Mark's ripping. Like, that's a federal violation.
Well, he's obviously not a vampire.
That's true. Thank God. Or we'd have half dollars everywhere. I think the hospital is an extremely convenient setting for a vampire. I loved how he, you know, he's got a problem and he's got to try to figure it out. And how do I get blood on a regular basis? Well, I'm a priest. I'm going to go volunteer at a hospital. And this friend of mine that's in a coma that I've been helping out for years, and he morally justifies this in his head because of the one good deed that this guy did that one time.
Right.
That he's like, well, I'm just going to lay next to him. I'm going to drink his blood. And that will sustain me, and everybody's going to be happy from that point on. But then also using that coma ward as his personal, you know, sex dungeon with him and his new girlfriend when you're a Catholic priest, probably not the most moral
act
that you could take. But
there was also a dark humor to it too, when he
extremely
he lays down on the floor next to the guy and he's draining his blood. Yeah
I can't remember the reason why he jumped out the window, but I just thought it was really.
Oh, you mean the bathroom window?
No, in the hospital.
No, in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
When he did it.
But I just, or is it, is that, was that like the first time that he started realizing he was a vampire?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of hypocritical considering, you know, he's a now he's going to, his way around this is to try to commit suicide, and he does it by jumping out a window.
Yeah,
I don't think that's something that a Catholic priest would have gone to immediately.
Maybe, yeah.
Is committing suicide. But anyway, he did a tremendous job as this character. The girl, Taeju, she was the movie, if he asked me.
Oh, yeah.
The minute she got introduced, it was, she's just.
But the whole thing with
one
the
crazy
mom,
nut job after another.
So crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one I highly recommend.
Yeah. Mark.
The Korean Stew It Again. It is a Korean film, right? Yeah.
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 Yep. Yeah.
They do it again. They do horror. They're doing horror, I think, what horror was back in the 70s and 80s right now. They are killing it. They're killing it. Dude, I haven't seen a bad, you know, Korean film yet, I think. This was an amazing, interesting love story, because that's what this film is all about, is just being a love story. But I do have a question. So the blood that was transferred to Father Sung-hue, that was vampire blood. That's how he got it, right?
Right.
It wasn't like the disease that he got. It was the transfusion of blood, right? It was just vampire blood. Because I don't think they really necessarily let that be known in the film. I don't think they did.
Yeah, they didn't do a really decent job of explaining exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they said that he lived. He was one of the, or one of
what, 500, 500,
500 people,
right,
that went through those tests, those trials, and lived. But unless it was some sort of vampire blood transfusion,
just a random vampire out there, you know, it wasn't explained, you know, that much to me. So I just wanted to make sure if I was correct on that. Mm-hmm. But what an interesting way to go with a vampire story. It's a love story. It's about his life with faith, with the Catholic Church, and coexisting as a vampire. I haven't seen that. I believe.
No.
The director knows how to do camera shots. This director is amazing. Especially with the round table that you brought up, Matt, with the mother who can only move her finger just a tiny bit.
Just a smidge.
And she can only blink her eyes to communicate to her friends who killed her son. And that scene, I think, is better. Like, for a round table scene, I think it's better than Inglourious Basterds scene in the cellar where they're all drinking beers. You know what scene I'm talking about? Where
love that scene.
They all get shot up. Michael Fassbender's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the way he ordered a drink. I think that the scene, the round table, best round table scene I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a tense scene.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the mom is just great, and she can't even move, and she's acting perfectly.
Right.
What a phenomenal scene. The lead actress, I'm flabbergasted with some of the scenes I've seen, just some of the acting. Even the sex scene when he loses his virginity, it was so tastefully done and so raunchy in a way, just so not dirty. I'm just saying the way they filmed it, it was just so well shot. And I'm just flabbergasted, you know, with this film. I do think this film could have been shaved 30 minutes. I thought it was a little bit too long. If this was shaved just 30 minutes, maybe like 20 minutes, just shaved a little bit, this could have been a perfect film for me. I love the end of this film where he's basically committing suicide and making her commit suicide, and with the car scene with the trunk when she's underneath the car, you know, to get away from the sun. It's just such a brilliant film.
All the little things she does to try and hide, and then he stops
her.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's so phenomenal. This is, I can't recommend this film more. Just watch it, guys. Cause I mean, this is really great filmmaking. It really is. It's phenomenal.
All right. Well, I think we all agree that our favorite of the bunch was Thirst, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hands down for me.
Hands down.
So, that brings us,
I don't know, Midnight Hour is a,
yeah, Midnight Hour was fun. I love that. But no, it's not as good. I like Thirst the best, but I love Midnight Hour. Okay, so our next pick is, it's not Joe's pick, but it was an idea that amalgamated from ideas Joe was pondering and that we talked about. So Joe, tell us a little bit about the next pick.
So we're trying something new. I was flipping through my Amazon Fire Stick home screen or whatever, and I saw A Clockwork Orange came across, and I was trying to think what genre or what theme we would have to pick so that we could watch A Clockwork Orange. And when I looked at it on IMDb, I noticed that it's not even considered a horror film. And it got me pondering, There's probably lots of films that we have seen that we just assume are horror films, but actually are not. They're horror adjacent, or they're on the fringe of being horror, or maybe they're classified as thrillers or suspense. I don't believe Silence of the Lambs is considered horror, but Silence of the Lambs is not horror, and Seven is also not horror.
Silence of the Lambs, I think,
is horror.
But Seven is not, and Seven has much more shock factor than Silence of the Lambs. But anyway, so it got me pondering. I thought, well, let's try something different. Let's all watch Clockwork Orange, and then we're all going to pick an additional film. So we have our five for the 2 weeks. And then when we come back, we're all going to discuss and sort of debate whether we feel this should be really classified as a horror film, or if it should just stay as it is outside of the horror genre. So we're all collectively nominating A Clockwork Orange as one of our movies, which is on HBO Max. And then my pick for this theme is Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof, which unfortunately is not on any streaming service. If you want it, you either own it or you'll have to rent it off of Amazon Prime. And I'm going to read down the list. We had Jimmy had picked Jake Gyllenhaal's Enemy from 2013.
No, he picked Nightcrawler.
Oh, he did. I thought he changed his.
No, I thought he changed his mind to Enemy.
No, he was saying Enemy or Nightcrawler, and Joe said, "Oh, I was hoping somebody would pick Nightcrawler," and he said, "Okay, Nightcrawler." He did. Look at the text.
And then I said, "Well, I hadn't seen that either," and I thought the next line he says, "Okay, then we do Enemy."
Yeah, I think it's Enemy.
I'll go back. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, we're either going to be watching Enemy or Nightcrawler. We'll post it. And then, of course, Matt has picked Lady Vengeance.
I have no idea what that is. Which you can see
on Tubi.
Yep.
And yep, what?
Yep, that's what I picked. Yep. And it's on it's on Tubi, Canopy, Plex,
Canopy,
Pluto, all those things. Yeah.
And I'm going to help Matt dig through trying to find that text thread. And Mark, you can tell everybody what you've told us to watch.
I'm picking Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm picking the Gene Wilder version. There's been a lot of controversy. There's been a lot of YouTube videos saying that this is a horror film. And I don't know. It's not a competition, but I think it's horror. I think it's a horror, guys.
All right. Yeah. Jimmy did say, he did say in a few texts later,
okay, let's go for Enemy.
Yeah. So Enemy.
All right. Yeah. So we've got A Clockwork Orange, Enemy, Death Proof, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Lady Vengeance.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to watch for the next 2 weeks. And then when we come back, we will all be having the debate of debates about whether these are horror films or not.
Yeah.
And then we will continue with our regularly scheduled program with my picks, whatever they're going to end up being after that.
Yep. So
unless this turns out to be a phenomenal episode and we just keep doing it, but I kind of doubt it.
No, I doubt it.
So,
yeah, I think we're all going to be too scared from Willy Wonka in order to keep just going.
But I will wet the bed that night that I have to watch that.
Yeah. Well, you bastards. Well, thanks for not making me rap tonight. So,
well,
I think you just picked our our
outro. It's not like music. We didn't make you rap either time, but
no, actually, you kind of offered it to us.
All right, drop a beat. Let's go. Drop a beat. Let's go. Let's go. I'm gonna retire.
Hi, this is totally PJ Souls, and
wrong one. That's not it. Come on, bring it.
Consummate professionals.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Nope, not that one.
Yo, come on.
You can do this one live?
Here we go, yeah. Powered
by Riverside.
Riverside, yeah. My name is Superfan Mark. I was eaten by a shark. His name is Bruce, and I'm about to get loose. What's the flavor of the month? It's mango, and I'm about to fucking tango. Yeah, enough. Yeah, we're done.
Oh. I think we've all just witnessed the end of Mark's rap.
And yeah, I'm done.
That might be the end right there. Might be the
can't catch lightning in a bottle twice.
No. No.
Well, three
no.
times anyway. Yeah.
No, I'm That's done. True. Yeah. No, yeah. that was it. Yeah. That hurt Whew. My brain.
All right, well.
That hurt my ears.
That hurt my pride. So yeah. I guess we will see
Just
you.
Delete it, man. Just delete it.
We'll God. See you next
that
time.
That was the worst. Oh, good night, everybody. Why did I even bring it up? What's the flavor of the month? It's mango. Groovy.